We turn our Bibles to John, and this time to the 14th chapter. John chapter 14. I start reading from verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. We come to the third and final installment in our short series in John 14, verses 1 to 3. This is certainly one of the most comforting passages in the entire Bible. If you ever come to a point in your life when you think all hope is lost, all hope is gone, there is nothing else to live for, read chapters 13 to 17 of the Gospel of John. This, my friends, is treasure beyond measure. In every chapter, just like the rest of the scripture. Here, dear friends, is pure gold of comfort. Jesus is about to be deserted by his followers, crucified by the enemies of the cross, forsaken by the Father on account of our sins laid on him. He comforts his followers whom he had gathered in the upper room. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now, in expounding these words of comfort, we have considered two reasons for not letting our heart be troubled in whatever situation we might find ourselves in. Firstly, we should not let our hearts be troubled because of the power of the triune God. Jesus has power to see, and he has power to comfort our hearts. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit sustain our lives through the Word and through the divine presence. Secondly, we should not let our heart be troubled because of the precious habitation, the precious house that we have. The owner of this house is glorious to behold. And so we can spend all eternity looking into his face and worshiping him. Yes, there is plenty room. There is plenty of room in the house of God, in the Father's house, for all God's people. None of God's people will be rejected. Ah, dear friends, this house is also permanent. It's a house. It's not a tent. It is secure and not subject to any decay. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Towards the end of verse 2, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And verse 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So the third and equally important point is that we must not let our heart or our hearts be troubled because of the promises of Christ. Now, a promise is a solemn commitment a person makes to do something. And Christ makes powerful, he makes great promises in this verse, or in these verses. We'll focus on three of such promises. And all these three, by the way, are intertwined. They are connected to each other. So we'll try and kind of zero down on each one of them, but just know that it's one promise, but within it we see these glorious promises. Firstly, there is a promise to prepare a place for his people. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, because Jesus mentions the Father's house with many rooms or many dwellings or many dwelling places, what comes immediately to mind when one reads this verse is that Jesus is going to physically start furnishing or decorating rooms in preparation for occupation. In fact, there are songs which sometimes give us that sort of impression. Jesus is not referring to physical rooms or houses here. He's using the phrase, prepare a place for you, because it is consistent with the imagery of a house which he's been using. In my Father's house, he says, there are many mansions. So the image of a house will obviously lead to talking about visitors or taking people to your house. You use that language when you talk about a house. In a way, when you simplify it that way, everyone understands. Now, you also ought to appreciate this, that in the New Testament, heaven is described in various ways, apart from a house. It is a country to show its vastness, or the fact that it is big, it is huge. Heaven is described as a city to show us that there are many inhabitants in it. Not a few. There is a multitude of people in heaven, redeemed by the blood of Christ. It is also described as paradise to show that it's infinitely glorious. It is beautiful. Heaven is also sometimes depicted as a kingdom to show that there is structure and there is order to it. And when you talk about a kingdom, there are big issues to deal with land allocation by the king. In Matthew 25, remember, verse 34, Jesus says, the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You can see from that verse that he's speaking of inheriting the kingdom instead of inheriting rooms or mansions. And take note that this kingdom was prepared beforehand, before the foundation of the world. So the preparation that is being talked about here in John 14 is a unique one. The question is, what is it about? When Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, what does he mean? The preparation has reference to his procurement of salvation, which will make the disciples, which will make all of us fit for heaven. In other words, he was saying that shortly he was going to pay the price for his people to get to heaven. And that will be by the way of the cross. There is something that he must do to reconcile us with the Father. The Father who is in heaven. Otherwise, we have no place there. Our relationship with God was broken when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And Genesis 3 verse 24, remember, it tells us that he drove man out and he blocked the way to the tree of life. And as a high priest, Jesus is going to enter the Holy of Holies to secure their place in heaven. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11 and 12. It says that Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come. I like that. High priest of the good things to come. With the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all. Take note of that. Having obtained eternal redemption. And in explaining that, verse 24 of the same chapter says that Christ entered heaven itself. Underline, entered heaven itself. And appeared in the presence of God for us. Oh, my friends, on that cross, our sins were laid on him. He was forsaken so that we might be accepted. He cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he made that declaration. It is finished. Because he had accomplished the mission. And I think verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 9 summarizes this very well. And he says, and for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. And we can just pause there and think about it. By means of death. For the redemption of transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called, take note of this, may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I go to prepare a place for you. Blessed be the Lord. The redeemed shall now have access to the tree of life. Yes, Genesis 3:24, that root was blocked. But now, we have access to the tree of life and we enter through the gates into the city of heaven, as Revelation 22 verse 14 says. So there is that work which Christ did in heaven. Yes, on the cross. To make us fit for heaven. And following this accomplishment of obtaining our salvation, by the cross. The Holy Spirit applies the work of Christ by daily conforming us to the image of Jesus. He prepared heaven for us, but He's also preparing us for heaven. We become more and more like Jesus as we fight the good fight, as we run the race, and as we keep or steward the faith once for all entrusted to the saints. The disciples needed to know that Jesus going away was for their good and for our good. Our place or salvation in Christ must bring us joy in time of trouble. We may feel Jesus is not with us, but that does not mean He's not doing anything. We must cultivate the habit of rejoicing in our salvation, even when we feel abandoned in this world. The salvation Christ procured for us is secure. We cannot lose it. Why? Because Jesus is the one who secured it. I go to prepare a place for you. If you are the one who saved yourself, definitely you will lose your salvation. But if it is Christ, He is Almighty, He is God. And when He says, I go to prepare a place for you, He means every word of it. He prepared the house for us, a place for us. He's the one qualified to do so. Oh, friend, do not let your heart be troubled. Christ has done it and is doing it. Philippians 1 verse 6 tells us, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a comfort. I go to prepare a place for you. Secondly, there is a promise of His second coming. There is a promise that He will return. He says, I will come again and receive you to myself. Jesus will come back again, for sure. Notice under this point that this is a personal return. He says, I. Not anyone else will return. In the book of Acts and chapter 1 and verse 11, the angels remind believers that they should not be perplexed about His ascending to heaven, His ascension. And they keep looking at the sky, wondering as they saw Him ascend. Their eyes, their gaze was fixed. He had disappeared, but they were still looking. He is gone. And the angels say, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up to heaven? Why? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. That is what He talked about in John 14. Remember, in the upper room. That is the point He was making. He's going to come back. The same way He's gone, He's going to come back here. So be assured. And interestingly, they went back to one of the upper rooms and gathered in fellowship in prayer to our God. He will come back. Notice, secondly, that this is His second coming. It seems obvious, but it's an important point. This is His second coming. His first was when He was born in Bethlehem. He became flesh as John 1:14 puts it. Now, the use of the word come implies pre-existence. In other words, he was in existence before he came into this world. In other words, Jesus has always existed. He is the uncreated one. He is God. Jesus is God, the eternal one. So both his first and second advents are Emmanuel moments, so as to speak, in time or in history. God with us. The God of heaven comes to planet Earth for the sake of sinful man. Wonder of wonders, he comes back. Do not let your heart be troubled. He will come again. Notice that this coming, in the third place, is certain. He says, I will. He does not say, I may come. And in this world, we have many people who promise, don't they? They promise to return our calls or to pray for us and or do something, and it never happens. They don't pray for us. And when they say we will be praying for you, what they actually mean is that thanks for the information that you have given. We'll forward it on WhatsApp, and I'm sure people will appreciate that I'm the first one who has sent it out, so they know. No prayers after that. Not so with Jesus. He will return, and that must give us comfort. And men may ask in this world, where is this promised return he talked about? Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Well, they may scoff and sneer at what the Bible says, but that will not change the truth that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And he has given proof. God has given proof of this to all men by raising Jesus from the dead. He comes to judge, but he also comes to take us home. Let not your heart be troubled. The promise of his coming again is made certain by the work of redemption that he wrought for his people. Look at that phrase. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's not a statement of doubt. The if there is a statement of assurance. Mission has been accomplished. A people have been redeemed. Therefore, I'm coming back to get them. He has no doubt that the mission will be accomplished. Therefore, there is this immortal assurance, I will come again, having secured a place for you. Precious promises. Promises of a place for us. Promises of a coming again by Emmanuel, God with us. But notice thirdly, there is a promise of his special presence. A promise of his special presence. He says, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. These are precious words, dear friend, and we can park here for weeks. But look, first of all, there is a special presence. at the welcome, I will receive you to myself. That's a language of love. It's a language of intimacy. Jesus loves his people so much. He looks forward to welcoming them. Now, there's a story of a guy who visited one of these developed countries for the first time. And firstly, he was shocked by the car that was used to transport him from the airport to the place where he was going. I'm sure some of you who have had the privilege of going to one of these developed countries where they have these black big taxis, and at least the time I visited some years ago, they were opening the wrong way. You know, the doors are opening the wrong way. I don't know if it's the wrong way, but you know, the normal door, it will open from left to right. But this door was opening from right to left. Okay, so when you're moving in fact, this cab would open doors like this. And then you move in. You know, it's majestic, isn't it? I think you may have seen some of these so-called celebrities, you know, the doors, you know, someone stands there, someone, they open, and you see the whole place in the car, and you move in, and then you sit, and then they close, you know, the doors. Some people call those suicide doors, because once there's a mistake across the highway, there's trouble. Yeah. But anyway, he was amazed by that. But that was not the most, I mean, the most amazing thing that this guy experienced. The most amazing thing was that the guy who came to pick him up from the airport was the president of the organization that he worked for. And this was not a small organization, it was a big organization. And there are layers and layers and layers and layers of people. And the president himself comes with that car and opens the doors, and the guy moves in, dumbfounded. And he was taken around town and restaurant and so on. And by the end of that trip, he was pledging allegiance to the organization and to the leader. Well, I encourage some of the CEOs to try that when COVID has ended, to pick someone up from the airport yourself. Now, Jesus says he will receive us to himself. He will give us that rich, warm welcome. Oh, what a comfort that Jesus himself will take us to himself and be with us at the welcome. But there is more, dear friends. There is also a special presence in the Father's house, because he says, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He will not open the doors to the Father's house and let the people in, let his chosen one in, and then he goes elsewhere. No. He will be with his people there. Shoulder to shoulder, as it were. Daily, 24 hours, 24/7, so to speak. In all eternity, we will be with Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? It is. To be with Christ is better by far. I recall with fond memories years ago when a very dear brother in the Lord was in the pangs of death. And the elders gathered around him to pray for him, before he was transferred to another hospital. And he called one of the elders and whispered in his ear. And he said, "My brother, I'm going away. If I come back, I will praise God. I will praise Him. But if I don't come back, I will still praise Him." That man knew something of the presence of Christ in life and in death. Of course, now he's secure in the arms of the Father, safe in the arms of Christ, and no one can snatch him from there. That place of bliss, "Maranatha, oh come, Lord Jesus." Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in the promises of Christ. "I'm coming again to take you to be with me, and we'll be together in my Father's house forever." Why should you not let your heart be troubled? Firstly, you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit at work in you and all around you. Secondly, compared to what you're going through in this world, heaven, your final abiding place, your final abode, is precious. None like it. But thirdly, do not let your heart be troubled, because Christ has purchased our salvation, promised to be with us till the end of age. He will come again and will give us a lovely welcome, and then we will be like Him. We will be with Him. Our bodies changed. We shall enjoy His presence forever. How do we end? Two things. If Christ has prepared a place for us, let us thank Him. And let us continue manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of His work for us and in us. We need to be holy. We need to be godly in conduct, as we are told in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. But secondly, if you know nothing of the hope of the redeemed, if you know nothing of the coming again of Jesus, to take His people to Himself, to be with them forever. If you know nothing of the sweet comfort that believers experience in the day of death as they are being transported by the angels to glory, if you know nothing of that hope, today is the day of your salvation. Call on Him while He's near. Forsake sin and ask for forgiveness, my dear friend. Let the King of Heaven be King of your life. Oh, that this may be said to you on the last day. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Oh, that God may be gracious to you and make His face to shine upon you. In a word of prayer, shall we pray? Father, we give you thanks for the promises that you have given us. Yes, precious promises that we have in Christ Jesus. May we stand on those promises as we read your word day by day. May we stand by those promises when COVID strikes and when death knocks on our door. May we stand on those promises when we feel abandoned, rejected in this cruel and crooked and sinful world. May we stand on these promises till we are transported to glory. So thank you for this great assurance that we have in your word, preparing a place for us, coming again and being with us forever. As we are dismissed now, we pray that these words will be sealed upon the tablets of our hearts and bring great glory to your name and great good to your people and great salvation to those who know not thee. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.